Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher and a current college professor, and I'm passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. So what we talk about on this podcast every week are just the stories and ideas and strategies and even some of the epic mistakes I've made along the way in this goal of trying to inspire students to be makers and creators. So today we're going to talk about something deeply personal to me, which is struggling and what it is like as a learner to struggle and why that helps you with your students, especially as they move into creative projects. So the key idea here is why teachers should experience productive struggle. So I'm sitting there in front of the computer. I blink twice, ready to press the submit button, but I'm not sure if I missed this problem. The progress bar will drop down another 25%, and I'll spend another half an hour trying to get back to where I was on this program that I'm doing. And at this point, I have spent well over 90 minutes on this statistics lesson that's meant to last only 20 to 45 minutes. I take a deep breath and I press the submit button. A red bar appears warning me that it's not quite right, and so I step away. Every part of me wants to quit this lesson. A part of me even wants to quit this class and just move on and do something different. But I know I'm so close to solving it. I know that it's one thing to take a break, but I've got to plow through. I've got to figure this out. Most of these errors have been computational and not conceptual. I review the formula and it looks like something from the movie Good Will Hunting, right? You know, it looks like something Matt Damon would be solving on that giant window. And the reality is I'm less like Matt Damon and more like the professor baffled saying, I'm pretty sure I'll get this at some point, but honestly, at this moment, I'm not so sure that I will. Now, I have baggage connected to math. I really struggled as a kid with computational fluency. Math has never come easily to me. And there's always this side of me that just wants to give up. I don't particularly enjoy, you know, anything that's deeply computational. So I take a deep breath. I wring my hands in frustration, questioning why this is so hard for me. I've taught STEM and STEAM. I read statistics on a regular basis, but I'm learning that there's a huge difference between constructing and analyzing statistics. In this moment, the subject is absolutely grueling. So I step away from the computer and the Newton-Alta statistics program, and I spend the next 20 minutes just drawing pictures with my daughter and my son. I draw this goofy picture of a greyhound because we adopted a greyhound a couple months back, and I just love the breed. I'm not going to get into it right now, but they are the coolest dogs ever. And the thing with drawing is I don't even think twice about it. I'm always doodling and drawing. I don't hesitate. I don't doubt myself. It's just this thing that I do. It's my creative release, a grown-up version of a brain break, I guess you could say. It doesn't matter that the legs are all wrong on this picture or that the snout isn't technically correct. It's just a doodle, and it's okay to be imperfect. And yet, when I ask my students to do sketch notes, at least half of them react with the same type of fear and anxiety that I'm currently having in my statistics homework. Here's what happened. A little over a year ago, I asked my students to do a sketch note with no words. I assumed that they would enjoy the creative constraint and the opportunity to convey their thinking in a visual format, but I was wrong. Many of them worried about whether or not it looked artistic enough. Even when I said, it's a doodle, it doesn't have to be pretty, they still seemed anxious, even with the chance to do over and erase and continue. They were still nervous. Several of them left the room to go get a drink of water or use the restroom. A few of them chatted and avoided the assignment. Others asked to see examples online, or they looked at what everyone else was doing to see if their pictures were comparable. Still, others rushed to finish it as soon as possible and just slammed the paper down upside down so no one would have to look at it. Now, on the surface, I saw work avoidance and a minimal effort. I would have said that my students were being, well, kind of lazy. But I knew better. When I asked what was going on, they described fear and anxiety. I knew that this wasn't their typical MO, but this was also not their typical assignment. A few of them who tried and struggled explained the frustration of making an attempt and still not getting it right. We then debriefed this activity in light of the so-called reluctant learners that we often see in our classroom. What if the real issue wasn't laziness? What if it was fear? For a few students, that was this big aha moment where they realized that when students are off topic or defiant or reluctant or they're not getting started on their learning, it's often because they are afraid. That kid who seems to hate math or hate reading doesn't necessarily hate you. They're scared. They're actually often very motivated to learn. They want to get it right, but they are just nervous about it. So I finished my drawing. I was done with the project. Stepped away from my notebook and I got back onto the computer. And it wasn't easy. I spent another full hour before I finally got my statistics homework correct. And I mention this because it was a reminder for me that learning is often really difficult. And then when I experience that productive struggle, it makes me a better teacher. Okay, so there's this idea of productive struggle, of experiencing, I guess you could call it grit, right? Where you go through the struggle and it's hard and you really just don't enjoy it. But in the end, you become wildly proud of what you've done. And I think that makes a difference. I think it's important that we have times as educators where we struggle in our own work, where we struggle in our own learning. And because of that, we become more empathetic toward our students. Now, I want to address what we mean by struggling. So when I think of the word, the work on my statistics homework, I find it easy to persevere ultimately and to finish because I am motivated by the task at hand. I actually want to figure out how to construct and analyze statistical data. And chances are it's going to become a part of the research I do as a professor in the future. I lean kind of toward the qualitative side right now, but at some point I'm probably going to want to do some quantitative, you know, scholarship. And for that reason, I want to figure this stuff out. I genuinely want to understand kind of the theory and ideas behind this, the statistics I read when I read journal articles. And so I'm motivated, right? There's this part of me that's motivated. I'm motivated to get a decent grade on the class because it's necessary for me to complete my doctorate. But also, I'm convinced that I will persevere. In other words, my motivation is there, but so is my self-efficacy. It's really high. And it's high because one of the upsides of struggling as a student, of really having a hard time with computational fluency as a kid, is I learned how to struggle in math at an early age. And I don't expect math to be easy, but I also expect myself to ultimately persevere. I know that in the end, I can get it done. So if we think about what we mean by struggling, there's kind of three different categories we could think about. The first is self-efficacy, and this is the belief that you can and will succeed. The second is motivation. This is that internal drive or desire to learn something. And sometimes the internal drive is also influenced by external factors like, you know, a reward or something that you're going for. So although we tend to think about it as intrinsic, it can sometimes be extrinsic as well. And then the last one is skill level. This is where you are in your skill development. So again, you could struggle with self-efficacy, you can struggle with motivation, or you could struggle with skill level. And often you can have a variation of all three of those. I also want to point out that there are layers of contextual issues that shape things like self-efficacy and motivation and skill level. For example, the pace and deadline makes a difference. The fact that I can redo all of these things on the adaptive learning program and statistics makes it a lot easier. I'm more okay making mistakes because I know that it's essentially not graded, that the only thing that will be graded is my midterm exam. If it feels rushed, on the other hand, and I feel like I'm not going to get things done, I might say, you know what, I know I can do this and my skills are there, but I'm just not sure I can do it in this time frame. And that sort of shoots down some of the self-efficacy.